All right, welcome back to the Briones Pickleball Podcast. It's your host, Jordan Briones, and today in studio, for the second time, gotta do more, but we have Jordan Yeager.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Thank you.
There you go. So if you don't know Yeager, you probably don't watch our paddle. YouTube channel enough, but our paddle reviews. he is the premier Briones Pickleball reviewer.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, Jordan, what have you been up to, man? I know that, you know, this year is going to be huge when it comes to paddles, but also you've had a lot of changes in your kind of life and stuff like that. So yeah. I don't know, whatever you want to share, but what you've been up to.
Sure. Yeah. I got a new job. I sell shutters now. I moved about an hour away to a little town, but it's a town called Surprise. There's a pickleball community there, but
yeah,
it's they all play in like the middle of the day. So I've just been drilling in the mornings, probably 3 to 4 times a week, with a buddy of mine. His name's Eduardo Santini. He just got sponsored by Selkirk, but he's a really good 5-5 player. We just drill. That's you'll see him in the reviews. That's who I'm drilling with.
Awesome.
Most of the time. Cool. But yeah, it's been really good. Like, as much as I miss playing with my buddies back in Gilbert, where I grew up, taking the time just to drill 3 or 4 times a week for months, I can really see that my game has gotten better. Like I play maybe 1 time a week, maybe.
Okay.
And I'm drilling 3 or 4 times a week, and it's huge. You know, you've always been preaching about how drilling is super important and how if you really want to take your game to the next level, it's what you have to do. And I've seen it with myself. And I've been a 5-0 for a while, and it doesn't matter what level you're at, drilling is going to take you to where you want to go.
Cool, man. So you're saying, yeah, because when you lived here in Gilbert, if you guys listened to the last podcast, you had a group that you would play with like a lot.
Yeah.
Like, was it like 3, 4, 5 times a week?
Yeah, even? It was like 4 or 5 times a week at least.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And for 2 to 2.5 hours. Yeah.
Okay. So now you're drilling a lot more. And so what do you notice, or what's the difference?
Yeah.
Because obviously you're not getting a whole bunch of doubles games,
mm-hmm.
but you are getting a lot of sessions in drilling. So what are you noticing about your game?
Mm-hmm.
And what, how has it grown?
Yeah, honestly, I think it's the biggest thing that I noticed every time I go and play is I see the difference in how I pick my shots.
Mm.
One, picking my shots and like my headspace when I'm in an intense point. Before, I feel like I was very, very intense, and now I'm a little more relaxed because when you drill a bunch and you just hit thousands of backhand dinks. Mm. When you get in a game and hit backhand dinks, you're not nervous at all.
Mm.
And for some reason, it feels like I have more time than I used to, just because I'm more comfortable. I know I've seen, almost every single dink you can really be hit, mm-hmm. and it just gives you extra confidence in the kitchen and just in every scenario, especially in like resets. I feel like tons of people when they're in no man's land trying to reset, it's like, holy crap, like, I'm gonna lose the point.
Yeah.
But when you drill resets all the time and you just get comfortable there, it's not a big deal being in that zone. And that's when you watch, pro pickleball players, they can just sit there and just hit, as many resets as they need to until they get the right ball and then transition. Sure. So that's been really cool, is just my confidence level and me picking better shots has definitely increased.
Yeah. Awesome, man. Yeah, so obviously, if you follow us on the channel a lot, you know that Yeager, does our does our paddle reviews, and we have a lot more coming. We're going to get into it, Jordan, about kind of in depth on some of these questions here, kind of talking about paddles and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you want to tell the viewers, just kind of what to expect, and also... I don't know. Yeah, what to expect on the Briones Pickleball channel when it relates to paddles.
Sure. Well, this year is going to be, every new year in pickleball is the next biggest year when it comes to paddles. Like, the next wave of paddles coming out this next month and the month after, they're going to be, all the big name brands are coming out with new paddles, and they're all looking really good. This year, I'm pretty positive that the next generation of paddles is going to be coming out. Just if you guys have listened to Pickleball Studios podcast, they talk about, you know, Gen 3 pickleball
paddles. Never heard of those guys.
Yeah, I don't know. They're just some small, stupid little channel. But no, they were talking about the next, you know, Gen 3 paddles coming out and how it's gonna it's just gonna change the game even more. Paddles are getting more powerful, or at least catching up to like the Gearbox Pro power level. And I'm sure there's slight differences, but from what I understand is that it's going to be similar to what that Gearbox Pro Power paddle does.
Sure. Yeah.
And, yeah. And so, I mean, even like the pros, the new pros like Tyson and Anna Bright, they're playing with that new Yola paddle. That's one of them that's, getting this, the new upgraded Gen 3 paddle material or whatever. And people are saying it sounds a lot like the Gearbox when they're playing.
So it's on the quieter side then?
It's on the quieter side, and I think they injected not foam just into the sides of the paddle, but into the core itself, and they integrated it somehow. Because that's what Gearbox did, and they have the SST core patented and stuff, so I'm sure Yola put their own twist on it to, you know, obviously not get sued. But it's gonna be crazy.
Okay. All right, dude. Cool. Interesting. Yeah. So, we're going to be, keep looking out for the reviews. Just a good question. I'm sure the viewers would like to know, everyone's kind of looking for different paddles. And also, if you follow, Pickleball Studio and, Chris over there, obviously he has to make these decisions too. It's like what paddles to review.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And, there's a million of them coming out and I don't know, I mean, we kind of tag team a little bit on this, Jordan, but just thought process on going forward, or maybe we can kind of talk about to the viewers like what paddles we would not review,
because
it wouldn't make sense to. Mm-hmm. Which ones would really make sense to for people to really be interested in watching some of our stuff. Any thoughts on there? We haven't even really talked on this a lot, but
yeah.
Any thoughts on that?
Well, I think the question of, well, especially from you guys, the viewers, because we can only review so many paddles within a certain amount of time. And so it's like, and Chris was talking about this a little bit, and he's spot on, is would you rather have just a select few amount of paddles reviewed, but, you know, they're a little bit longer formatted videos, they're more in depth, or would you rather have like short reviews, kind of just kind of like a first look, maybe a little more than a first look, but and have just more volume. So we would love to hear, because we're trying to figure out the right balance with everything coming out. We just have to be really selective with which ones we choose that we want to review and ones that are going to be most beneficial for you guys, the ones that you want to see the most, because there's going to be a lot of them. So
and speaking of paddle reviews, if you don't know, it's not like for those of you that might just think, oh yeah, just review this, review that. It takes a lot of time.
Yeah,
it takes a lot of money. It takes a lot of effort to do these. So kudos to Chris Olson for kind of paving the way,
definitely
from the very beginning. But again, like anyone, not even just paddle reviews, like YouTube content.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right? Just
like,
in general.
I mean, we have a kind of a full team now to help us, you know, create content, and I'm getting to the point. It's like, okay, well, what content do I want to create? What is what excites me, and mm-hmm. what gets me, really excited to do. And what's, what do people want to see? Obviously, those are questions that are really important. I'm not going to, make a video on how to hit a dead dink or something. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, obviously, first, you don't want to do that. And second, like, why would anyone want to do that? So when it comes to paddle reviews, I think Jaeger and I, obviously, huge paddle releases. Expect those. We're going to try to... we as in Jaeger, he's gonna do his best to review all the big releases, because big paddles with big momentum are you know, are talked about. They're important, and they could change the way things are going to happen in the future. Mm-hmm. And you know, Jaeger is going to give his honest opinion if it's good, if it's bad, if it's mediocre. And then obviously I think there's a sense of reviewing just really interesting paddles, mm-hmm. or paddles that are being talked about a lot.
Mm-hmm. Ones that just stand out.
Yeah, that have, you know, different dynamics to the paddle and things like that. But comment below. Stay connected. Yeah, yes, stay connected with us and let us know kind of what you want to see. But at the end of the day, whether it's a Pickleball Studio or any other paddle reviewers or any other content creators, Pickleball Space Online, you know, what we're doing is not, you know, it's not only for fun, right? I mean, we're doing this to help the community out, but also, you know, we do this to grow, mm-hmm. you know? So
definitely.
Let's see here. Anything else, man?
I actually have a question for you, just around buying paddles in general, because I know there's like the pickleball paddle community that watches these reviews. I know you guys probably have more than just one paddle, because I know even before I started doing reviews, I did. Like a good review that would come out, I'd be like just excited because the review was super good and I just bought one.
How many paddles did you have? Like your peak of your paddles that you bought, uh-huh. how many did you have before you started doing reviews?
Probably had 5 or 6.
Okay. All right. So that I would say, comment below how many you have right now. Yeah. But yeah. I guarantee we're going to see a range from 1 to 21 or higher. But no, 5 or 6, I would probably say is probably in that average range for most people.
I would say so. Yeah.
Okay. So 5 or 6, mm-hmm. and they were what? Let's get down to it.
Oh,
what were the five?
It was the 6-0 Ruby. It was the Selkirk 003. I had a carbon, like a carbon 1X.
Okay.
What else did I have? I had an old Electra Model E way back in the day. And then the other one that I had was, what was it? Well, I said the carbon, said the 6-0. And then it was a gearbox. Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of the guys in my old group was a big gearbox rep. Or he runs the marketing for Gearbox. So,
got it. You actually said though that you bought the Perseus and then you returned it.
I did. That's true. I did. Right. So because I got the 6-0 Double Black Diamond and the Perseus the same day.
Yeah, that's what you.
And I was like, I'm gonna like the Perseus way better. And I got out there and played with it back to back with the 6-0. I'm like, I can't believe it. This isn't as good as I thought it was gonna be.
Yeah.
And the 6-0 was, I mean, obviously, it was, I thought it was a much better paddle, and that was my go-to paddle for a very long time. And my go-to paddle right now, I'd probably have to say, is the Huarache X Control over the Double Black Diamond, just because of the extra pop and power that it gives me. I think it has a little less spin, but I mean, the extra pop and power as people continue to get more and more poppy paddles, yeah. It just keeps you in the fight, you know? I'm very curious to see on how many paddle companies are going to continue to make and develop control paddles. Mm. Just because I feel like
that's an interesting question.
I just feel like pickleball is moving away from the control paddle.
Okay, so viewers listening to that, what is a control paddle? What the heck does that mean? Mm-hmm. And what other options are there? So just really quick in your kind of explanation, Jordan.
Yeah.
What's the spectrum there? If you explain to somebody just coming into the game, mm-hmm. You've been reviewing paddles for a long time now, obviously playing for a long time.
Yeah.
But like, what are the different kinds of paddles in your eyes?
Sure.
And explain in a really simple way, how would you explain to someone coming in the game?
Gotcha. So I would categorize paddles in 3 different categories. And then within each of those categories, I think there's 3 subcategories. So just to keep it simple, a control paddle is one that's heavily focused around hitting good soft shots like third shot drops, resets, hitting dinks in the kitchen. So the way you can tell is that the sweet spot feels super, super soft. Like when you hit it, you really feel the ball sink like a lot into the paddle face, and when it comes off, it just feels super comfortable in your hand. But like if you try to hit a serve or like a drive or a hard shot, you feel like you have to generate all the power yourself. Like if you feel like the paddle's not helping you hit the ball harder, then I would say that's a control paddle.
Okay, so control paddles, just some examples would be obviously the Selkirk Lux.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I currently play with. We got
the Gamma Airbender, the 6-0 Infinity line.
Yep.
I would consider them control paddles. Okay.
All right, so we got the control. You said three main categories, right?
Yeah, so there's control, and then next is all court, which I feel like most paddles fall within that category. Mm-hmm. It's the most popular. I feel like most pros play with all court paddles, except for a select few. All court paddles is something that does everything well. It still has really good touch and feel, but it's not so soft where if you hit a drive or serve or you're in a hands battle where you feel like you're getting left behind or you have to generate all the pace yourself. I personally don't like that feeling because the bigger the swing you typically take in pickleball, the worse off you're going to be. Unless you have tons of time and you've been playing a super long time, typically bigger swings are not great. And so if you can make your swings more compact and you can rely more on the paddle's pop and power, it's just, in my opinion, that you're going to be a little bit better off. And so some paddles in this category are, I'd say the most obvious one, most popular one is the 6-0 Double Black Diamond. The Yola Perseus falls in that category as well.
Mm-hmm.
The Carbon 1X series would fall into that. I mean, when it came out, it was considered a power paddle.
Yeah.
But as the goalposts keep moving and as paddles keep getting more and more powerful, some of these control paddles are now just regular all-court paddle in the middle of the spectrum.
Oh, you mean some of the power paddles that you mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Are now.
Yeah, like some of the power paddles all-court a year ago are now all-court paddles for sure. And this is not important, but I want to talk about this real quick.
Yeah.
I'd say specifically within the all-court paddle range, since there's majority of them, you can break it up into three more breakdowns. So you can say on the lower end of the spectrum, all-court paddle, so it's more control-oriented, but it's not a full control paddle, so it's just a little bit softer, but it still gives you a little bit of pop and power. And then you have just middle of the road, and then you have on the higher end of the spectrum of all-court paddle, something like the Huarache X Control. That review is coming out pretty soon, but I would
consider... Actually, it'll probably be out by now.
But. Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, it's true. I would consider that a control paddle still, but on the higher end of the spectrum, kind of on the borderline between a power paddle. And as I've been playing, I've realized that's where I like to be myself personally.
So you said you like to be in the, all court.
All court on the higher end of the spectrum.
Higher power.
So it's an all court paddle, but it still has more pop and power than just, I would say, an average paddle, but not a full-blown power paddle like the Gearbox Pro Power, something that I can still have some control on. I don't feel like I'm fighting to keep the ball in, but I can take a full swing with good technique, and it's going to do what I want.
Sure,
Because sometimes those power paddles, I mean, if you don't hit the return correctly, it just flies out of bounds, and it's just really hard to dial in, so...
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, those are the categories of the paddles. Mm-hmm. Let's see. What were we talking about there?
I was getting to the question I was going to ask you is kind of around buying paddles versus coaching. Right. So in your opinion, at what point do people start investing into a paddle before coaching? Like at what point do people get a paddle compared to invest into coaching? I guess that's my question for you.
Yeah, really good question. You know what? We kind of talked about this like very slightly a little bit, but so, you know, just to reframe the question.
Sure, yeah.
Or what Jordan is asking, right? It's like, okay, if someone's trying to get better or whatever, you know, a lot of people, there's players that just buy every single paddle on the market.
And like, this is going to make me better.
Yeah. And they have that thought process, and other players just like to buy paddles and they have the expendable income, which is great. And they just want to try new things. Like a lot of people have car collections. A lot of people have Pokemon card collections. Yeah. I don't know, like my kids or you have a paddle collection. So, you know what, for me, it really comes down to what your goals are. I think that's super important. Now, if you're a player and your goal is to just have fun, and obviously you want to get better, and but just have fun and feel good on the court, look good on the court, cool new paddles, and it's more social, which is great. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, there's nothing wrong with buying more paddles. But if your real goal is to actually improve on your game, mm-hmm. and you've been stuck in the same level a long time, and that's frustrating to you, and you are buying paddles for the, you know, for the reason of trying to see if that can enhance your game, then that's the totally wrong mindset.
Yeah.
Right. So that is a different scenario. And I would say that, again, like you said, we kind of talked about it before, but $200 paddle or $200 in lessons, yeah, or something. Yeah. If you're talking about bang for your buck, like, is the paddle going to enhance it, or is someone working with your technique or working with your strategy, mental game, whatever, yeah, all day long it's going to be the coaching. But that's the hard part, right? It's hard to find real good coaches, so that's the hard thing. So that's what I would say. But yeah, man, I mean, that's why I teach, and I think that I have a you know, knock on wood, I have a pretty secure job right
yeah,
now.
Yeah.
I mean, there's, you know, everyone wants to get better. Everyone wants to learn. And at the end of the day, I know how to help people and get, you know, and help get them where they want to be.
Yeah.
So really, that's it. And that makes you feel good on the court too, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're getting better and actually improving.
Then you can use your paddle, the paddle that you want to get to its full capabilities.
Yeah they go hand in hand,
because if you buy a super high level paddle and you don't know necessarily how to use it as far as the correct technique to get top spin or whatever, then I feel like you're losing money on that paddle. Like, I feel like your level, there's definitely advanced paddles for advanced players. I feel like a great example would be the Gearbox Pro Power.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that thing is just an absolute rocket, and if you don't have the correct technique, you're gonna lose, because you won't be able to keep the ball down and you won't be able to keep the ball in the court.
Yeah, another one I'd add is the Selkirk Power Air.
Oh yeah.
Again, when it comes to power, you know, that is a part of pickleball. Like, mm-hmm. it is good to have power. You need power for offense, you need power to put balls away and things like that. Mm-hmm. But if you can't control the power, it doesn't really matter. So, and I think we said this a long time ago in a podcast, but like, the Power Air is not something, even being sponsored by Selkirk, that exact model isn't something I would recommend for anyone 3, 5 and lower.
Oh, definitely.
I just wouldn't, because again, when you're thinking of what you need out of the paddle, especially in those kind of levels. So if you're, you know, 3.0, 3.5, even a little bit before 4.0, what you need out of a paddle, I mean, my preference, and if I'm coaching, you need something that you can control really well. So obviously power is necessary, but and you need, I would, you know, recommend something with a bigger sweet spot.
Definitely.
Because mm-hmm. that is important until you really, really get accurate with your technique, your footwork, and then you're not mishitting the ball a lot. So those are just my suggestions. And then as you, obviously we're seeing the game evolve right before our eyes.
Yeah.
We're even seeing like a Jack Sock go from the Lux to the Power Air.
I think that's a great example. Like,
yeah.
He was relatively new to pickleball from tennis, and there's tennis and pickleball are similar, but there's big differences. And I mean, up until just this past tournament, Jack was playing with the Lux, and I think that says a lot. It's like, he was one of the highest level tennis players you can get in the world, and as a beginner in pickleball, that's the paddle he chose for those reasons that you just talked about. It's the bigger sweet spot. It's more forgiving. Hitting those touch shots that you need in pickleball.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it could be easier with any paddle other than the Lux.
It's one of the best out there when it comes to control.
Yeah. It honestly is, yeah.
Yeah, but it's going to be hard to put balls away. at the pro level, at least, unless you're a Jack Sock. But either way, on the interview, actually, you know, the commentator or whatever was asking him, you know, oh, why did you change from the Lux to the Power Air? And, you know, one of the sentences he said in there, paraphrasing here, but like, yeah, I just got to, you know, it just helps me keep up with, you know, basically referring to or alluding to the hands battles.
Definitely.
And that's, again, he was killing people with the Lux. So imagine
with the ground strokes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But even in hands, like, he's pretty good. But yeah, to see, you know, we'll have to, you know, follow Jack and see his counterattacking skills. But man, they're going to be, especially with a strong wrist, it's going to be, you know, we'll see some, I'm pretty sure, some hard counters from Jack coming forward. So
definitely once he figures out, more and more he plays with super high level players in doubles, he's going to start recognizing and just reading the patterns of speed ups really, really well. And I think Jack's going to be in more finals as the year continues on. Because he's just a freak.
yeah, dude. Yeah. So that's paddles. There you go. Kind of example of, kind of the paddles out there. Obviously it's kind of, subjective in a way, right? Like, some paddle may be leaning more towards power for somebody or some control, but generally, right, a sliding scale of, you know, with power, you're gonna lose a little bit of control just naturally. You just will. And then when it's super controlled, super soft, and it's very easy, huge sweet spot, you're gonna lose some pop. I mean, just it just, that's the natural kind of natural thing that happens. Right now, as it stands, Jaeger, when it comes to paddles, obviously we're working on a whole bunch of paddles.
Yeah.
At the day of filming, what is it? The end of March. Easter's tomorrow. Happy Easter, everybody.
Yeah.
But the so top three paddles today. Obviously, that's going to change in the next couple months.
Oh, will.
Probably.
I think so.
Okay.
I mean,
as we test, you know, or not me, but as Jaeger tests more paddles, but as at this point, as we speak, the day before Easter 2024, top three paddles now in your bag, or whether they're in your bag or not, what are the top three paddles?
Top three, I would say number one is the Huarache X Control. Really, really like that. Like I said, I just finished play testing it. Really, really like that paddle. I would say number two has got to be the Double Black Diamond still from 6-0.
The Double Black or the Ruby?
I'm going to say Double Black just because I feel like I've been hearing things, and I noticed this myself as I played with the Ruby, the grit right around the sweet spot, it fell apart a lot faster than I thought. I'm like, oh yeah, Kevlar's super durable. It's going to last forever, the spin. It hasn't necessarily been the case. It wasn't the case for myself. The regular Double Black Diamond spin grit outlasted the Ruby, I would say, by quite a lot. And I feel like a lot of people are having that same kind of experience.
Yeah, so is it just, you're just saying that on the Ruby, it's just getting a little smoother, quicker?
Yeah, I mean, if we're talking brand new out of the box, like no spin degradation or anything, it'll be the Huarache X Control, it'll be the 6-0 Ruby, and then and then probably the Engage Pro Pursuit line. Really, really like the Engage paddle.
Okay.
A while back when we did top five paddles of the year, that was in the lineup, and I think that came in third, and it's still there.
Okay. So you're saying now, though, with degradation or whatever you call it.
Yeah. But, yeah.
So you're saying Huarache, Double Black, and then the Engage?
Yeah. Yep. If we're talking about the durability and just overall playing with it for an extended period of time. Sure. Yeah.
Okay. And the Engage, which model is that?
I think it's the MX, which is the elongated 116 millimeter.
And the 6.0 Pro?
Yes.
Okay.
The engaged names, I still have them confused.
Yeah, a little confusing. Go ahead and go to our channel, watch our top five paddles of 2023.
Yeah, it'll be on there.
Yeah, that Engage paddle is a good one.
It's really
solid.
Good.
Go ahead.
And those are all core paddles. And I could, it might be interesting to do like a top three or top five power control, or we could do, let us know in the comments if you would like to see more top five videos, whether in whatever category for spin, control, power, whatever. It could be interesting. But
what do you, so here's an interesting question. And again, it's a little bit subjective. And I'm sure when it, you talk to other reviewers and things like that, but what paddles to you are actually classified as power that are not the Gearbox Pro and the Power Air?
There's not a whole, there's honestly not a whole lot. I know some of the Onyx paddles.
Okay. So maybe the, like the 12
like,
mil.
Yeah. Like the 12, like 11, 12, 13 millimeter paddles are really thin. I think the one that Thomas Wilson uses,
the 12 mil,
the 12 mil carbon 1X, I think that's definitely considered a power paddle. The 002 from Selkirk is considered a power paddle.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Of course, the Power Air. I mean, those two paddles are, the Selkirk sponsored players on the tour are playing with those two paddles.
Yeah.
for the most of the time.
Yeah, so we'll have to see how many more power paddles are going to come out.
I think
in
there's
2024.
I think in 2024 there's going to be a couple. Like in the next couple months we're going to see quite a lot of them.
Okay.
I heard the new Azul paddle from Thrive was on the edge of a power paddle.
Okay.
Maybe like a lower end of the spectrum power paddle.
Yeah.
And that's just from Braden from Pickleball Effect posted that review and I watched it and he gave a really good synopsis of it. So from his words, that's what it seemed like. And I'm like, cool. So, we'll see. I think we're definitely going to see an overwhelming majority of paddles coming out this year are going to be upper tier, higher level all court paddles closer to power and then full blown power paddles.
Yeah.
Like control paddles this year, maybe a couple.
Yeah.
But who knows? It just depends on every player's needs. Mm.
Okay. All right. Really good. So yeah, that was that's kinda what, you know, kinda our thing, what we're going for. Jaeger's working really hard to bring the best reviews for you. And
I got a question for you.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, dude.
With all the people that you teach and coach and in your intensives, what's the most popular paddle that you've seen?
Oh, man. You know what? That is a great question. Let me think here. Let me think. You know what's really interesting is I've seen them all now. So I have now crossed the the line. I don't know. I've taught hundreds of people now in my intensives.
Yeah.
So let's see. What do I not see? Okay, let me just name paddles that I see.
Yeah, yeah.
But that rubies for sure, uh-huh. Double blacks, for sure, Selkirk Power Airs. You know what? Haven't seen a ton of Rhombuses. Yolas. I see a lot of Yolas.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at my paddle wall. Engages. Yeah. I don't see a ton of Gammas. Vadix. I haven't seen too much of those. You know what? I would say the majority is Yolas, Selkirks, and I see a good amount of double blacks. Or basically six zeros.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to think of what other companies. I see it all. I see it all. If you maybe give me some paddle names. But no. So like just off the bat, just if I were to think about it, right? I see a good amount of Selkirks, a good amount of Yolas, and a good amount of six zeros. At least recently.
Yeah, and I feel like that's pretty accurate with the paddle market in general. Like I feel like every other paddle review that I do, it's a 6-0 paddle, a Selkirk paddle. Yola hasn't come out with anything recently, but they're coming out with something next month. Yeah. So I think they crank out a lot of stuff. I mean, lots of paddle companies are starting to crank up the production, the quality of the paddles. I feel like in years past, making a paddle has just been, anyone could really do it. But I feel like as the limits are being pushed, technologies are starting to become more and more advanced, and it's not as easily to replicate. And so when you see these Alibaba, you know, drop shipping companies that make a paddle for $10 and claim that has the same technology as these other companies, it's just not going to be able to happen. Like thermoforming was, you know, the Gen 2 thing, and it took a while for people to catch up, but anyone can make a thermoform paddle now. I think this next Gen 3 version or class of paddles is not going to be able to be replicated easily at all whatsoever. I think these companies are having to make new manufacturing processes, and they're really going to have to fine tune in and really dial in exactly how their paddles are going to want to be with this new technology they're bringing in.
Well, yeah, it's going to be really interesting, right? So Gen 1, right, we had that. That was like the first
carbon. Was like raw carbon fiber cold press sandwich.
Then Gen 2, but then when Gen 2 came out, right, it was hard to replicate that. Then Gen 2 came out, a lot of Gen 2s, then 3. I think every iteration of the generations, at some point, the market will catch up, and then you have all these Chinese companies, all these other companies. But then when the next one comes out, it takes more time. So I don't know. I guess maybe to stay ahead of the curve, you got to, you know, we'll see the bigger companies land first. I don't know. We'll have to see. But yeah, let's see. Here you go, Jaeger. Here's one. Dream paddle.
Okay.
Right? Uh-huh. Dream paddle. And we're talking about what you want out of it, and what you're kind of, two things, like two part. What are you looking for in a paddle, and a dream paddle for you? You know, weight, when it comes to grip length, and also why. Like why, and what are you trying to get out of it? So let's say you get hired by a company, and they tell you, hey, this is exactly what I want, and then it's just boom, like a magic genie. Okay, here it is. What would it be?
As far as shape, it'd be really cool to have an elongated handle, like 5.5 inches.
So 5.5. So
5.5 inch.
Not six.
Not six.
Okay.
Because I feel like once you get past 5.5, when you get in hands battles, I find myself getting jammed easier because it's just longer, and I think that makes sense. So shorter the handle is, the easier it is to not get jammed in hands battles and getting attacked by speed ups. So I think 5.5 is a good sweet spot. I have pretty big hands, and that's, I feel like, a really good length for me. Just enough room where it doesn't feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And then for the shape, like a hybrid shape, just like kind of like the Ruby shape. I think with a handle that long, you'd make the face just a little bit smaller, which I'm fine with. And then as I continue to review paddles, I've seen the thing that bugs me the most in a paddle, if it doesn't have this, is a low twist weight. It's like when you're just trying to hit a ball and it's slightly off center. So I guess small sweet spot. I really don't like that, because if you get into higher levels and you are facing bangers and you don't have a paddle with a good twist weight, you're going to hit a block and it's just gonna, it's just gonna rattle in your hand, and I hate that feeling.
Yeah.
So having something with a super high twist weight, something like 6.5 to 7, is a really, really good twist weight. I think that'd be number one spec. And then the next spec I would want
to pick. Wait, so number one spec to you is twist weight?
Is twist weight. If the paddle is stable. Because if I know the paddle's going to be stable, I know that it just gives me confidence to hit the shots I want to hit.
Now, is twist weight exactly correlate with sweet spot? Or is that, what's the difference? Or is that to just go hand in hand?
So I would say the sweet spot is how big the paddle feels, where it sinks in you, and you get the response that you want out of it. When you get close to the edges, that's when it stops reacting the way you want it to.
But it
is oftentimes very synonymous. Paddles with good sweet spots are almost every time have a good twist weight. Not always, but most of the time. I would rather have if I had to pick one or the other, I would have a smaller sweet spot and a better twist weight. Just something that's not gonna be flimsy in my hand. I mean, obviously, if you guys watch the reviews, you know I add lead tape to pretty much every paddle. just for the fact to increase the twist weight.
I guess we should have talked about that, huh? So so lead tape. We'll get back to your dream paddle.
My dream paddle.
But lead tape. So why lead tape? Just really quick for the viewers. Definitely. Why is it important? Where do you put it?
Yeah. So lead tape does a couple things for you. One biggest thing for me is what I put on is it just increases the twist weight, which makes it more stable. So if you have a paddle that, and it also increases sweet spot size. So once again, they're pretty synonymous. It makes the sweet spot bigger. Oftentimes it makes the paddle feel a little softer. And then just it increases the stability. And the farther you move the weight up towards the top of the paddle.
Yeah. So where do you currently put your, and by the way, not a sponsor.
This is my paddle. This is the one I
where do you put your current lead tape?
So it's been pretty consistent since I've started using lead tape. Yeah. And I put it up, I try to measure about an inch up from the handle, and then I use 5 inches of 1 inch thick 2 gram lead tape.
Okay.
And so 5 inch strip.
Yeah, hold it up to the
5 camera. 5 inch strip right here.
Okay. So like that.
So it'd be right here. So I try, you see where the paddle like curves? I try to put the halfway point the lead right in the middle of where the paddle starts to curve. Mm. Every paddle is different, but that's what I aim for on pretty much every paddle.
Okay.
Is right there. And I pick it right there because it's not high enough on the paddle where it's going to affect the swing weight a bunch. So it doesn't feel sluggish in my hands.
Yep.
It doesn't hurt me too bad in the hands battles. But it still gives me the stability I'm looking for and increasing the sweet spot size. And I mean, it'll take a good paddle into one that you can really love. And it could take a bad paddle and something and make it average or even good. You have to be careful. I've played racket sports my whole life. And so my wrist and my forearm have been acclimated to swinging around a racket a ton, because if you had too much weight and you know you're trying to make it work, if it's super strenuous on your wrist and your arm, then definitely take some off. It's not worth it.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Yeah. So yeah, we talked about twist weight, and that again, that has to do with the sweet spot a little bit, and that has to do with, you know, when it's hitting, I guess, closer to off center, what that feels like. Stability. We talked about swing weight, and that is obviously how heavy it feels in the hand. And we talked about, you know, that's a big thing, especially at higher levels. I would say, you know, maybe lower levels it doesn't matter as much, these things, but yeah, swing weight's big as hands battles increase.
Definitely. Yeah.
Okay, so you said, I guess here's another way to phrase the question, but the Huarache right now is going to be kind of your paddle of choice at this point.
Yeah.
What would you change about the Huarache to make it better?
Gotcha. The Huarache, it has good spin, but it's not crazy. Like a paddle that was crazy was the Black Diamond Infinity. It had, you know, almost... it was like 2,250 RPMs. Like that is crazy. When I'm hitting any kind of topspin, it would grab the ball, and I was able to hit shots that I normally couldn't hit. And when a paddle can do that, where it just elevates and adds more shots to your bag, into your repertoire of whatever the scenario is, it's a very fun feeling. And so if I could change something about the Huarache, it would be... because I think it's around the 1900 range, but if we got that up to like 2200, it would be, I feel like every person would use it.
Okay, what about the pop and twist weight on the Huarache?
Yeah. The twist weight out of the bag, just out of the box, was good. It wasn't good enough to where I was like, you know what, I don't even need lead tape. I added lead tape onto it, and it made it even better as far as twist weight goes. So I still feel like I wanted to add lead to it. Some paddles I don't. One of the paddles that I felt like I didn't need to add extra lead at all was the Engage.
The
new Engage series. I didn't even feel like I needed to add it. And I really enjoyed that because it didn't slow me down at all. The paddle weight didn't change at all. It was just super, super solid. And still added lead to the Huarache, but I would increase the spin. The Huarache still has, I mean, it has a 5.5-inch handle. Mm-hmm. And so two-handed backhands felt, they felt great.
Yeah.
I hate it when the handle's too small and I have to really extend this finger up there. Mm-hmm. I know when you watch the most famous, the most famous person with the two-handed backhand, Annalee Waters, her finger's like all the way up on the back of the paddle.
Well, her grip is not long.
It's like this big.
Yeah.
And I've tried to do that, but it like strains the tendon in my forearm. And it's weird. Maybe because I didn't learn.
Yeah, you know, same thing for me, man.
Really?
And when I'm teaching the two-handed backhand, it's interesting. I actually have people go finger up first because mm-hmm. it's more control,
like
dinks and stuff. But personally for me, just not a finger up guy. But there's a lot, you know. You look at a Ben Johns, you look at a Annalee Waters. I think 90% of pros put their finger on top.
Actually, I will say this. When I'm hitting a two-handed backhand dink, I'll find myself having the finger creep up more.
There you go. Yeah.
But on like a ground stroke or a return, absolutely not.
Yeah.
It's going to snap something in my freaking forearm.
Yeah.
So, but yeah.
Okay. So Huarache favorite paddle, again, that's probably going to most likely change in the
near future. Yeah, we'll see.
When Jaeger is reviewing some of these really huge releases. So stay tuned for that. Make sure that you are up to date with our reviews. Again, when you use our discount code, BrionisPB, that really helps us out. And obviously, you know, it helps us do all this, right? It's a lot of work.
Definitely. Yeah.
Jaeger works really hard and he's on the court hitting the paddle a lot, putting his thoughts together and trying to give you guys the most accurate reviews. So I don't know. How do we end it from here? Is there anything else you want to kind of talk about, dude?
What is your dream paddle besides the Selkirk Lux? I know that's just, if Selkirk could make a paddle specifically for you, it has your signature on it, just like Ben Johns has a signature on the Yola, what does that look like? Or is the Selkirk, is a Lux pretty close to it?
No, so I've obviously, me being as a sponsored Selkirk player, I'm going to be biased. The company as a whole, you know, I just love them. And, you know, what they have now, right? They have, I wouldn't say limited options, but they have what they have. And then obviously all the other paddle companies, they're just different. They're just different, right?
Yeah.
But there's nothing like the Power Air and there's nothing like the Lux out there, you know? So for me, when the Lux came out, I kind of, you know, I like the colors. And then I do find myself as a control player, like in my own game.
Yeah.
So like resetting is very important to me.
Mm-hmm.
And topspin dinks, drops. So I've just been playing with that paddle so long. I love it. Again, I am waiting for, I know that, you know, I can't say much on what Selkirk exactly is in the works, but I know that there's going to be a Generation 3 kind of, like there's going to be something coming that's really good in the future. So I'm waiting for that. But until then, again, I don't, you know, I played it with the Power Air for a good amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet spot was just small. It was just small. Can I play with it today and still play at a high level?
Yeah, definitely.
I can. But I like to have the feeling that I'm never going to miss a reset.
Yeah.
With the Lux, I have that. And you know what's interesting is like I have to, obviously, with the Lux, put a lot into my shots to put them away. But I kind of, so instead of like, I have one or two things I'm thinking about. I either A, could easily just switch to the Power Air, but I'm going to lose some touch like that.
Yeah.
My hand, like the counters are going to be fast. But I don't know. For me, kind of like Jack Sock, I don't know. But for me, I'm just waiting. I'm just waiting to the next iteration. I'm really excited what they're going to come out with next. But I'm kind of using it. I know it's super soft, so I know that anything I get in the future, my counters are just going to be hard. So
definitely.
I'm learning. It's actually helping. It's helped my soft game because and helped me be more strategic. Actually, here's the thing that you can I'm kind of thinking about. Help me be really strategic with my speed ups and more accurate, right? Because if I speed up the ball or I counter, it's not going to be the same thing if I'm countering with a gearbox.
Yeah, you got to make it count.
Right? So I got to make it count. I got to be really smart. So I think it's made me more disciplined in the kitchen and way more just like high IQ on what balls I'm attacking. So
yeah,
I don't know. I've never thought about like maybe suggesting different paddles in that kind of way for players, but maybe if you're working on your soft game or you're working on your speedos, maybe that is a thing you could think about, you know, what kind of, cause like you've said this in a review before, but kind of like the paddle that you have, you'll kind of adapt your game slightly.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I definitely do
to what you, what you're using.
Mm-hmm. I definitely do. I mean, I'll review a lot of paddles, and it's funny cause my game will change slightly. I'll hit more drives or drops depending on the paddle that I have. And you want to play to the strengths of the paddle. I'm not going to try to, you know, hit tons of drives if I'm using a control paddle because it's almost just like wasted energy. It's like I'd be much better off doing what the paddle's supposed to be doing, getting to the kitchen, hitting smart dinks, just like you said. But yeah. And so with the Lux, so if you're like, if the Lux had more pop, it'd be like, perfect for you?
I think so, yeah. You know, it'd be cool if they made, so the Lux is, I believe, 18 millimeters.
It's thick.
Gosh, I think it's 6. I don't know. Is it 18 or 6? I think it's 18, dude.
Yeah.
I think the Lux is 18. I think
you're right.
This.
I think you're right.
If they made the Lux at like 13 millimeters, I would love to try it. I would love to try it. Same shape. I love the Epic. I don't know. That'd be really interesting. But
that'd be awesome.
That may not. That's I'm actually I doubt pretty it. Sure. I'm pretty sure that's not gonna happen.
They're
gonna have other stuff in the works. But yeah, I'd love to try that though.
Very cool.
So yeah, man. Anyone? Yeah. So again, paddles. Questions on kind of like what you know, what kind of paddle you know. Any questions on paddles?
Yeah.
That would be good. Leave a comment below.
Yeah, and we'll try to get to them.
Yeah, yeah. What you're looking for in a paddle, what you would like to see in our, you know, in our reviews. Just any questions for Jaeger. He's going to be reviewing a lot. And, you know, he's going to keep it going. He's going to keep it going. We're going to keep it going here on the channel. And, yeah, make sure that you like and subscribe. Jaeger, we'll have you on periodically.
Sweet. I'd love it.
Yeah, especially as the paddle market changes and as these new companies come out and new generations and iterations of what power is. The power of today is not the power of tomorrow.
that is true.
I like that.
That could be the slogan for this year.
Yeah. So, but... all in all, kind of what you kind of refer to, no matter what, right? I could go out there and kind of with this wooden paddle. Oh, we got some content coming, so stay tuned. But I mean, I could go out with this wooden paddle and play at a 5-0 level, 5-0 plus level, just based on my technique, positioning. I mean, I'm not going to be as efficient,
definitely.
Sure. Yeah. But again, at the end of the day, what I'm saying is that, take a look at your game first. If you're trying to improve, if that's your goal, if you're trying to just have fun and you just want to buy all the paddles in the world, use our discount code BrionisPV.
Yes.
But if you are actually trying to improve, you know, obviously footwork, mechanics, shot selection, mental game, all that's like really, really important. So
yeah, yep.
Don't forget about that. Jaeger, thanks for coming on, man.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, man.
And even though he is an hour away now, we'll have him back soon. So thank you everyone for watching.
Yep.
And we'll see you in the next one.
Yep.